Hi, and welcome. You're listening to Doubt to Full Out, where I help you stop the excuses to activate full potential and walk confidently in your true purpose, maximizing impact and income to live full out. I'm your host, Lindsay Yeoman, entrepreneur, speaker, soon-to-be author, and coach. I have the humble honor to speak on this subject because not too long ago, I was stuck in decades of shame, fear, and self-doubt. I never thought my life had purpose beyond my family until God revealed the lies holding me back from His full purpose. I've learned how to not let past mistakes sabotage future success. And now I'm teaching others to overcome their own self-doubt, to walk in truth and success. Each week on the show, I'll share stories of my own journey and other incredible women who have pushed past the fear to live full out for Jesus and their purpose. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to today's episode. I'm your host, Lindsay Yeoman, and let's get personal, shall we? Again. So today, I want to share with you a little bit more of my details of my past and my background and my upbringing, and why I feel so called to share these episodes with you. I want to identify for you three of my personal limiting beliefs. And I hope that by identifying these through my stories, like my personal stories, that you may begin to hear something and identify your own limiting beliefs. I think this work is really important because your thoughts determine your actions. Romans 5:8 tells us that the mind is the leader of all actions. And so you have to get your mind thinking the way God wants you to think. So the first one I'm going to share with you is that for literally my entire life, since I was a child, I believed that what I had to say did not matter. That my voice wasn't important, that I should not speak because it's just going to take up other people's valuable time and space. So I should just be quiet and not use my voice. This one began very early in my childhood because of my very abusive stepfather. He used to repeatedly remind me that I was to be seen and not heard. I almost named this podcast that, believe it or not. He was a very tall, 6'4", 250-pound man, and extremely abusive and an alcoholic. And I watched my mom endure many, many beatings over the years. I watched him hit her and punch her and kick her and beat her and throw her into walls and choke her and break everything in our home and smash TVs. And I heard him rape her. And that is something she never knew I knew. I also, of course, suffered my fair share of his temper and beatings, and many, many times over many weeks and months and years, literally feared for my mom's life and my own. One time during one of the fights, my mom was trying to pack us up to leave. Usually she would wait until he passed out and then we would pack up and leave. But he barricaded himself in the bedroom and literally was holding a gun to my little sister's head. Yes, yes, of course. The police, they were called, and they were called regularly. But we were really poor, and it was the 80s. Just not much was ever done, and he was always allowed to come back in the house. Another time in fourth grade, gosh, I remember this so vividly, like it was yesterday. He and his brother picked me up from school. He had never, ever, ever, ever picked me up from school before. And my little 9-year-old self panicked. I did not want to get in the car. And I don't know why I never talked to a teacher except just for plain fear of him and of my own voice, really. So I got in the car thinking, oh, this is it. This is literally it. I can remember the fear I felt, thinking he's killed my mom and now he's kidnapping me and I'll never see her again. And I remember the two of them up in the front seat, just talking and laughing. And we pulled up to a stoplight and I was like, no, I'm not going to kidnap. And I open the door and I try to get out of the car with my really heavy backpack. And I just remember like the feeling of the car jerking to stop and the door flying open and him like yelling and chasing me and grabbing me and throwing me back in the car. Yeah, that was one of the worst beatings. And I honestly don't remember where my mom was that day and why she couldn't pick me up. I guess my brain just locked away the rest of that memory. But he and my mom, they had two precious baby girls back to back. And when they were born, I was 7 and 8 respectively. And, you know, for years, I mean, these sweet sisters of mine were born 14 months apart. And so when my mom wasn't taking care of babies or nursing babies, she was pretty much recovering from her beatings. So I was forced to grow up very, very quick. Pretty much became the ugly stepchild and the maid and the nanny and taking care of the majority of the household chores. And one of my mom's strengths was not keeping a tidy house. But let's be honest, I mean, she had a lot of trauma and a lot of fear and a lot of guilt and a lot to take care of. So here I am, this 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old child thinking, well, I mean, I just got to clean the house and keep myself quiet. I can't trouble my mom. She has enough problems of her own. So I'll just be quiet. I have to be helpful. I can't share my fears. I can't share my doubts. I can't share my sadness. I can't share my happiness. I just have to do the things. Clean the kitchen. One of the things I had to do every day was make sure there was a cooler full of beer on ice beside his lazy boy every single night before he came home. And he was a roofer. And so he would come home and he would put his feet up on his lazy boy and make me take off his disgusting, sweaty socks and shoes. Literally, purely for his entertainment and my humiliation. The fire of hatred grew inside this little girl. And she kept most things to herself. My mom was far too busy or too worried or too scared or too stressed to deal with any of my thoughts or feelings. So as a child, not only did my voice not matter, but neither did my emotion. So I was truly seen and not heard. I grew up believing that no one wanted to hear me. This limiting belief was really reinforced in later years as my trauma and abuse led me to leaving home at 16, getting my GED instead of graduating high school. Because of my trauma, I tried to numb the pain and fill the void with anything and everything, except the only thing that can heal, which is Jesus. And I'll share more of this limiting belief and how it defined my journey to becoming an entrepreneur and why I'm here now in another episode. But most importantly, just want to help you recognize this limiting belief if you have it yourself and reframe it daily for truth. So you may not have the same childhood as me, and I truly hope you don't. Abuse may not be part of your story, but I know that there are pieces and parts of this that you can relate to. I mean, maybe you may have had a really big family with lots of siblings who were just much louder than you. And so you felt like, yeah, I'm just going to fade into the background. No one wants to hear what I have to say. Or maybe you just had an older sibling who did all the talking. Like, they're just going to answer for me. I'll just be quiet. I've seen families where the older children answer for the younger children all the time. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, she'll have the purple one. She wants this one. And so then that child grows up thinking, oh, well, what I really want doesn't matter. I mean, I guess, yep, I'll just take the purple one. She was louder. So you grow up thinking what I really want, what my heart desires, what my voice has to say doesn't matter. So why should I voice it? Why should I speak up? Why should I say my opinion? Why even bother having a voice? Someone's just going to talk for me. I remember being asked to do a national training, and this was before I did the work, before I discovered that I had this limiting belief. And I was talking to the producer and just saying, yeah, okay, I'm going to speak as fast as I can so as not to take up too much time. And she said to me, Lindsay, you have take up space syndrome. You don't want to take up people's available time and space, but you need to. Lindsay, take up their space. People want to hear what you have to say. You have accomplished a lot and they want to hear how you did it. So if you have this limiting belief that your voice doesn't matter, that you don't have enough value to be heard, This is a self-doubt rooted in limiting beliefs that you have to work on and through every single day. You have to recognize it for the lie that it is, a lie from the enemy, and reframe it for truth. Because people do want to hear what you have to say. So this is what I do. I take a deep breath and I remind myself before I get on a training or a coaching call or start an episode of this podcast, I remind myself to recognize that lie. And I literally, like, I pull it out of my brain physically, throw it away in the trash can. And I say, nope, not today. And I say that type of, I say to myself, slow down, speak your words. They want to hear from you. Your words are important. Your words matter. So you need to know, no matter where your limiting belief came from, and I encourage you to do the work, to trace back in your memory, and it may take some time. Like, this is my challenge to you. If you have this limiting belief, trace it back in time to where it came from. But I'm here to tell you right now that you can reframe it because your voice does matter. What you have to say is important. And most importantly, the absolute necessity of getting your thinking in line with God's word. To recognize the enemy's lies and know the truth. And one of the best ways to this freedom is just by asking God for a lot of help and asking him often. Zechariah 4:6 says that not by might nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And you know, people give reasons, which are really excuses rooted in fear for why they can't do something. And I'm telling you, I could have come up with a ton of reasons why I couldn't do that national training. But I'll tell you right now, if I had not felt the fear and done it anyway, I would not be here right now. It's pushing yourself out of the comfort zone, recognizing your self-doubt, and deciding, making a choice to reframe it and overcome it, that pushes you into quantum leaps of personal and professional and spiritual growth. This leads me to my second limiting belief, that my worth and my value is only as good as what I can accomplish. This also began very early as I had to keep the house clean. My mom, as I mentioned, she wasn't real tidy and honestly just what's known as a clutter bug. My grandparents had lived through the Depression, and my grandfather kept literally absolutely every piece of paper ever. And that trait rubbed off on my mom. And it didn't help that we were really poor. She never threw away a magazine or a newspaper. And as a matter of fact, her thriftiness had her rinsing and laying paper towels out to dry on the counter so they could be reused. Something that drove my husband crazy. But what initially began as chores and keeping the house, because really I was the only one to do it at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, coming home from school, making sure that everything was done, the kitchen was clean, the living room was spotless, the cooler of beer was prepared. I honestly began taking pride in my cleaning efforts because anyone who would come over would notice. A neighbor or my aunt or my grandmother, anyone who would come to visit, I would be wiping down the counters or even washing the walls, cleaning the outside of the cabinets, honestly, just to get noticed. I mean, my voice didn't matter, so maybe my efforts would. And it worked. People would say, wow, such a young girl taking such ownership and responsibility in cleaning. Little did they know, if I didn't do it, it wouldn't get done. And what would be on the other side of that for me? But a little girl who was neglected and wants to be seen, that got her noticed. And so it began to form in my mind that if I work hard, it'll get noticed. Satan began whispering and sowing those seeds of lies in my brain very early on that my value and my worth is only attached to what I can do and what I can produce. So at 14 years old, I started my very first job outside the house, which was making jewelry cleaning machines in the basement of a local jewelry store. It was a really dark dungeon with no windows, but I went every single day after school, really just to get away from my home and start saving money and to be seen and prove my value somewhere. If I was working, he was okay with me not being at the house. I always went above and beyond any job because I needed that compliment of wow, you're doing a great job. Like, I needed to be seen. And then I left home. And I'll finish my career path on another episode. But I will say, though, this limiting belief has actually served me really well in my career. It has not served me so well in my relationships, but in my career. It's how I landed my first corporate job by proving my worth. It's how I excelled at every sales job I've ever had to prove that I have value and worth through what I can do. And it's how I excelled in my direct sales career. But our worth is not based on what we do or what we can accomplish or how much success we have or how much money is in our bank account. Our worth and our value is found in who we are and the love of Jesus Christ. He died for us, not because of the work we do or the success we have. He died for who we are. And I'm going to wrap this up with my third limiting belief for today, that I am not worthy of love. I do a really deep dive on this in another episode on my marriage. So be sure to tune in for that one. But my hope is that you will start to identify some of your own self-doubt and the roots of your limiting beliefs through my story and through the story of others that are coming onto this podcast. And again, I hope that abuse is not part of your story, but we all have experienced trauma in one form or another, big or small. And those traumas have a deep effect on our self-worth. So I really encourage you, think about what you're thinking about, because our subconscious thoughts are thousands and thousands more in quantity daily than our conscious thoughts, which means you probably don't even realize or recognize your own limiting beliefs. And hopefully this podcast will help you to see what is sabotaging your actions and your impact. Because that's what the enemy wants. And it may feel like hard work, because it's easy to just walk through your day and do the things and check off your to-do list and not think about what you're thinking about. And, you know, watch Netflix and not get up early and read your Bible. But if you really want to do the work, for one, it changes everything, not just your success in business, but it changes your relationships. But it's daily. It's easy to quit. It takes faith to keep going. And in Galatians 6:9, Apostle Paul encourages us to keep on keeping on. And Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. So let Jesus be strong in your weakness. And decide not to quit, because you have a choice. You get to choose what you're thinking about. And awareness brings change. By learning to recognize the lies and reframe for truth, you are setting yourself up for massive success in business and in life and relationships. So I truly, truly hope that this is encouraging to you and that you'll join me every week and start to see your ability to recognize what's truly holding you back. Also, if you have a story that you'd like to share, please hop to the link in the show notes to submit your story to be on the show. Thanks for listening. I hope to see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Doubt to Full Out. One thing that would really help get this show to the ears of more women who need to listen is for you to rate and leave a comment on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. That truly helps reach and serve more women. Also, be sure to link up with me on Instagram and please share this podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. If you have a story to share or would like to be on the show, hop to the link in show notes to submit your story. Until next week, my hope for you is that you begin to uncover the lies of self-doubt so that you can live full out. When you commit to the journey, it changes everything.